To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the moon breaking through the clouds over the Tuns Mast Power Tower and farmland off of Waite Road in eastern New York comes to us from yours truly, as I did my best to capture the magnificence of last night's supermoon while I was out walking the dog and literally skipping in the moonlight, as the joy of being out in the nighttime air provided its own brand of energy. I apologize for the quality of the photo. My phone's camera isn't the greatest, but the fact that I was even able to get this photo is a testimony of how super the moon was last night, because most of my previous attempts at capturing nighttime skies have been dismal failures. A white dot with an all-black background doesn't really convey the magic moment of a full moon. So I am thankful that although the clouds obscured our view of the moon, they provided a setting for its light to shine all the same. Well, it's Thursday, and after last night's Celebrate Freedom Growth Group meeting at Star Point Church, I'm reminded that even though we may never be perfect in adequately reflecting God's love and light, when a group of Christians comes into a setting of mutual support where we are attempting to practice heart-focused discipleship and encourage one another in our attempts to overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, the Lord uses the setting and our collective experiences to really let His light shine. While there could be much darkness to talk about in a recovery group, our group is designed to focus on the light in the darkness, the victories being won a day at a time, and the very real presence of God in our lives. While it was a mixed bag of testimonies, with some celebrating victories and others admitting to continued challenges, the fact that we were together to support one another was enough to create an atmosphere of peace and joy, despite the difficult circumstances that many of us are facing. Some of us are in the painful stages of transition because of divorce, and some have recently suffered physical pains of aging, medical issues, or injuries. Some are dealing with court issues, and others are dealing with the struggles of the normal course of raising children or dealing with family. But when we focus on who we are in Christ and how we are trusting God to help us, we can see past the pain and know that God is with us. We have great hope for where He is leading us. We know there is power in the name of Jesus, and when we stand on the truth of God's word, proclaim it over our lives, and live according to it, we can watch the darkness flee. And that brings us to our current series, Statements of Truth, that springs from the last portion of step number 2, Deception versus Truth of the Steps to Freedom in Christ by Dr. Neil Anderson. That step deals with deception, and because we have completed the process of examining, confessing, and renouncing all the ways we have been deceived, the good doctor prescribes a healthy dose of truth for us. Anderson introduces the statements of truth by stating, for 2,000 years, Christians have known the importance of verbally and publicly declaring truth. Read aloud the following statements of truth and carefully consider what you are professing. You may find it helpful to read them aloud every day for at least 6 weeks, which will help you renew your mind to the truth. So, for our current series, we have presented each of the statements of truth for step number 2 of the Steps to Freedom in Christ, one at a time, and today is the 11th and last one. We are declaring them verbally and publicly because we, like Christians who have gone before us, over the last 2,000 years, know the importance of doing so. We are also sharing the statements associated Bible verses and sharing our thoughts about what each statement of truth is telling us, why they are important, and how they apply to our lives as Christians. So today's statement of truth is number 11. I believe that the Lord Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and He is the head over all rule and authority. I am complete in Him. I believe that Satan and his demons are subject to me in Christ, since I am a member of Christ's body. Therefore, I obey the command to submit to God and resist the devil, and I command Satan, in the name of Jesus, to leave my presence. And the Bible verses listed with that this statement are Matthew 28:18, which says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And they also share Ephesians 1:19-23, which says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, while is his body the fullness of him who fills all in all." And the next verse is Colossians 2:10, which says, "And you are complete in him," Jesus, "who is the head of all principality and power." And finally, the last verse was James 4:7, which says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." While today's statement of truth highlights the reality of the spiritual battle that we are in as Christians, it also proclaims the power of our faith because of Christ's supremacy and how our faith in Jesus has made us complete and given us a measure of his power and authority to overcome the evil one. As I have traveled along the path of Christian discipleship, I have tried to know God more and to live authentically as a Christian, as much as I can. As I have attempted to live by faith, one of the questions I would ask as I would read the Word of God and meditate on the various principles and doctrines of our faith was, what do I do with this? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are not necessarily concerned with just learning what the teacher has taught us through his words and example. We should also seek to put the wisdom of his ways into practice and apply them to our lives. So while we could acknowledge that Jesus has all the power and authority over heaven and earth, we should ask, what does that have to do with me? Well, Jesus passed that authority on to us. That the verse that follows Jesus' proclamation of all authority in Matthew tells us to go and to make disciples. We are to use Jesus' authority to spread his teachings and to make others to be well-versed in his ways. That's a very practical application of his authority. We aren't telling other people our philosophy of life. We are sharing the truth of God's word straight from the Messiah's mouth. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I can tell you that we are to love God, love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love our enemies because Jesus said it. I can tell you to forgive others because Jesus said to, and because God has forgiven us because of Jesus. However, God's kingdom is an everlasting, all-encompassing physical and spiritual kingdom, and the power and authority of Jesus extends beyond just sharing his teachings. His authority and power can also be effectively used to defeat the unseen spiritual forces of darkness, demons that actively tempt, deceive, condemn, and accuse us. If we submit to God, we can resist the enemy and tell him to flee. The steps to freedom in Christ is a process in which we can exercise the authority we have been given in Christ over demons. Through prayerful confession and renunciation, we can break the permissions we have unwittingly given to the enemy and tell them to leave us. People who have gone through the steps to freedom in Christ have literally been set free from demonic oppression. Christ also gives us the power and authority over sin in our lives as well. We have the authority to go and sin no more, but we have to exercise that authority over sin to be free from it. When we fall into sin, we are proclaiming that sin has authority over us. But when we act on the truth that we have been freed from sin, we have authority over it. We have to believe that God has given us his power and authority to say no to sin and then actually live according to it. If we can say no to sin one time, it proves we have the power and authority over it. We just have to continue to exercise it to demonstrate God's power and authority in us. In Christ, we have been made complete. But if we don't exercise our authority in Christ, we won't fully experience our freedom or the abundant life that God has for us. In Christ, we have been set free and been given the power and authority to live free, but we have to use it to experience it. Let's see, and then we move along to the next section. Today's Bible verse comes to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on alcohol and drug abuse, and today's passage is Isaiah 28, 1 through 4, and the Word of God says, "Ah, the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley of those overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has one who is mighty and strong like a storm of hail, a destroying tempest like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He cast down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim will be trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley, will be like a first ripe fig before the summer. When someone sees it, he swallows it as soon as it is in his hand." Today's verses fall under the seventh point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on alcohol and drug abuse, which is, number 7, God's wrath was upon Israel for its sin of drunkenness. Today's verses come from the Old Testament and refer to God's judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel, a.k.a. Ephraim. The northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians in 721 B.C., and today's verses indicate that one of the things that God judged them for was drunkenness. That mighty person that was going to, basically eat that summer fig, was the Assyrians. The Lord sent the Assyrians to overtake the northern kingdom, to punish them for their disobedience, and the northern kingdom was lost. That's where the Samaritans came from, basically. They were this hybrid of former Jews who were assimilated into the Assyrian cultures and became Samaritans. So if you ever wondered what a Samaritan was, that's my little history. And that's a bonus for you podcast listeners, because I didn't write all that. Let's see, what did I write? Like I said, they were conquered in 721 B.C., and today's verses indicate that one of the things they were judged for was drunkenness. Does God really care about whether we get drunk or not? Really? Yeah, he does. Drunkards of Ephraim is not a term of endearment here. It is a judgment. It's something that the people of Ephraim were proud of, but was actually something to be ashamed of, and was one of the things that the northern kingdom was punished for by God. God doesn't punish virtues or bad habits. God punishes sin. And so the northern kingdom's fall shows us that God's wrath will fall on those who have the sin of drunkenness. The good news is that faith in Christ covers our sins. We can be forgiven, but the whole counsel of God indicates that even though sin can be forgiven, God's people are to not persist in them. Christians are to repent of their sins and go and sin no more. For the sin of drunkenness, that means we are to go into recovery and stop getting drunk. So let the drunkards of Ephraim teach you a lesson. Drunkenness is a sin. It is a sin worthy of God's wrath, and it must be forgiven through faith in Christ and repented of. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Holy Spirit, and we continue sharing from chapter 22 on the Spirit assuring, and today's section is entitled, Inclining Hearts to Love God. So, if you want to learn how to incline your heart to love God, go to mtforchrist.org, and you'll see a resource at the end of today's blog post where A.W. Pink will address that issue. As always, we encourage a lifestyle of Christian discipleship. And we do that with our podcast and YouTube channel by sharing the teachings that we did in 2021, audio teachings for Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ. Those teachings all come from the work of Dr. Neil Anderson, and they're based on the Word of God. And they're all about teaching you about who you are in Christ, the spiritual forces of darkness, and how to resolve your personal and spiritual conflicts through the steps to freedom in Christ. So we encourage people to check those out. We found their teachings to be life transformative, and thus we became trained by Freedom in Christ Ministries to be a community freedom ministry associate to lead people through the steps to freedom in Christ. And so we share those on a podcast, and we share them on the YouTube channel. To encourage people to find their freedom in Christ. We also believe in a lifestyle of Christian discipleship and recommend a daily spiritual practice. How do you live as a Christian? Well, we should read the Bible, study the Bible, and we should pray. Those are things I learned from Billy Graham's ministry. After I became a Christian, I found some evangelistic materials that said, okay, now that you're a Christian, what do you do? Well, basically, they suggested Bible study and prayer and turning from sin, obviously. But with that, it reminded the Christian that you are forgiven of sins, but you are to turn from them and not persist in them and stay in that vicious cycle of condemnation that the enemy just wants to keep you in. Now, you might be saved. You might be saved, whether or not you believe more in your sin or in God. That's up for God to decide. But the theory of the carnal Christian is that they are saved but are locked in their sins and, basically ineffective for the kingdom, not producing fruit. That's a matter for the Lord to figure out in each individual's life, but it basically prevents our purpose in Christ when we stay locked in sin. It destroys our testimony as a Christian. Why would I want to be a Christian? That guy's a mess. So it's not going to bring people into the kingdom when you walk around in sin. And it could lead people away from Christ. And most importantly, it doesn't fulfill who God made you to be in Christ. But God's mercy is great. His grace is amazing. And, we'll be surprised by the people we find in heaven. And we might be surprised by the people we don't see there. So we can't be too self-righteous, and we can't be too conceited, and we can't have an inferiority complex either. We're supposed to have confidence and humility in the Lord. So we recommend Bible study, and the way we do it on the podcast is by sharing the weekly topical Bible study that we do with Arthur and Susanna Cincotti. Those messages are called Bible Study with the Cincottis, and we recommend them. If you don't have a Bible study of your own, you can listen in to ours. Well, it is Thursday, and normally I work, but I have a shifted schedule, and I work on Saturday this week. It'll be the third Saturday in a row that I get to work. Joy. Just the last three Saturdays of summer, that's all. Including Labor Day weekend? Yeah. A day is just a day, and today's the day off, so the good news is I'm at my countryside home with my wife, Tammy Lynn, and I'm not sure what we have planned for today, but we'll be together, and that's a good thing. So we, I could, lament over having to work on Saturday, or I can enjoy the day today. That's what we do as Christians. We focus on the things the Lord has provided and the good things in our lives, and we practice gratitude to remember these things and to give us joy and peace. So that's all I got to say about that today. So I think we should just pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for our freedom in Christ. We thank you for everything you do, the people in our lives, the church we have, the friends we have, the family we have, the job we have, and everything else. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. But before I sign off, I do want to pray for those who are listening or reading today's message. We pray for you, Lord, to go beside them, lead them in the way they should go, and bless their prayer request. And you can, while you're at it, you can bless us too. We pray for you to go before us, open our eyes unto the things you want us to see, and lead us in the things you would have us do. And so all we want to do is represent you in your kingdom, Lord. And so we thank you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.